Father, we thank you for the day today. We thank you that we have time to sit together and consider the death of Jesus and what it means for us. Please, Father, remind us again of this core moment in history and help us to respond rightly. Amen. Well, as we come to Good Friday, have you thought about what we're doing? We're celebrating the day that Jesus died, celebrating the death of an innocent man, celebrating the suffering of an innocent one, which when you think about it, it's pretty strange, isn't it? Not only remembering this day of great injustice, but actually celebrating it. Imagine being in the school classroom. I know for many in the room that's a current reality, but for some of us maybe a little while ago. And in the classroom, you know there's that one person who's always mucking up. You all know who that person is, don't you? And if you can't think of who that person is, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it was probably you. Anyway, there's this one person messing around, or maybe it's even a small group, and they're all doing the wrong thing, and because of what they're doing, they get the whole class in trouble. You lose your free time, which is something that happened for my daughter in year two, who's looking very expectantly at me. Though losing your free time sounds like more of a punishment for the teacher, doesn't it, than the kids. Or you have to work in silence for the rest of the lesson. The injustice! The innocent class punished because of that little person over there. Make sure it's over there. It's not a day you'd like to remember, is it? Let alone put in the diary and celebrate the anniversary. So why do we celebrate this day where the innocent Jesus suffered? Now we're going to have a read of what happened from one of the biographies of Jesus. That's Luke's biography, no relation. And then we're going to dive into a couple of other parts in the Bible to help us explain what's going on and why we should celebrate. So first, as we look at the biography, we see that Jesus truly is the innocent one who suffers and dies. In the biography of Jesus written by Luke, as we approach Jesus' death, we see Jesus arrested by the Jewish leaders of the time. They refuse to accept who he says he is, that he is God's son sent into the world as their long-awaited king. And so they call together a trial, if you can even call it that, and then because they don't believe Jesus, they say that he's falsely calling himself the king. And so they sentence him to death. Now, in the other biographies of Jesus, we read that they actually set up false witnesses to kind of make the charge stick for Jesus so that they can get him executed. And after finding him guilty in their trial, they take him to the Roman ruler of the area, Pontius Pilate, to get him to execute Jesus for them. And Pilate questions Jesus. He says this, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. And then Pilate finds him innocent. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests in the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Pilate finds him innocent. And so the Jewish leaders in the crowd try again to get him condemned to death. And again, Pilate finds Jesus innocent. Later on in that same chapter, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death." But undeterred, they come a third time and demand Jesus' execution. And Pilate appeals to them a third time. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Pilate sees that Jesus is innocent. It's not just our opinion looking back in history. This is the person who was there at the time and saw the facts. He sees Jesus as innocent, and three times he tries to get him released. He tries to make the people see sense. Can't you see that this is an innocent man you're trying to convict? The frustrated lawyer pleading with the court to dismiss the obviously false charges. But they won't hear it. They're so whipped into a state of frenzy that all will satisfy is blood. Blood of this innocent one. And Pilate is not the only one who sees Jesus' innocence. After Jesus is crucified, the criminal hanging on the cross next to him can see that Jesus is different. He's innocent. The criminal is speaking to one of the other criminals on the cross. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus is the innocent one. He doesn't belong on the cross. Suffering, the mocking, the humiliation, the pain of this awful death, a death so awful that Roman citizens were exempt from it. It's too shameful and too painful for them. Jesus is innocent. He doesn't deserve this. And when Jesus dies at the end of his suffering, after he's been beaten, after he's been mocked and killed, a Roman soldier can also see what kind of man Jesus is. When Jesus had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Jesus was surely a righteous man, a man who did the right thing, who lived a life which pleased God, a life of love. Loving God and loving the others around him. And yet this righteous, innocent one was killed. So what's going on with his death? Why does the innocent one die? Why doesn't he do something to stop it? Why doesn't God stop it? Well, we're given an explanation in the Bible as to why this happens. Because we're shown that Jesus, the innocent one, dies for us. Jesus' death seems outrageously unfair, and it is. But there is a reason that Jesus endures it all. And that is us. Jesus willingly suffers and dies for us, because he loves us. And you can see the reason explained in that Isaiah passage that we had read to us. From verse 4. "We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus' suffering and death was to deal with the punishment for our sins, for our transgressions. What is sin? Well, it's transgression against God. It's an offense against God, going against him, both in how we treat him and in how we live our lives. We fail to acknowledge God as the one who made us and therefore is in charge of us. We live our lives with little acknowledgement of what he thinks is best. And so, just like when we go about ignoring those who are in charge of us, there's a judgment due, a punishment. Now, I'm sure you've not done this, but it's like when you pay no regard to the speeding laws because you think you know better. "I'm all right, I'm a safe driver, I'll be okay a bit faster." It's really clear here. Or you just go about doing what everyone else is doing. Well, everyone's going 10k over. It's the wrong thing to do, isn't it? And so when you do get caught, you're judged guilty of breaking the law, of ignoring it. And so you face the punishment. It's the same with God. We've ignored what he said and we've followed what everyone else is doing. Or we've just done our own thing because we think we know better. And so we've gone against him. And we will all face his judgment. Just like all those who've been mocking Jesus. They don't treat Jesus as the king he truly is. They think at best he's not worth listening to. At worst, he's just a joke. We can do the same. Write Jesus off as someone who's not really worth listening to. Who doesn't really have any significant place in our lives. But Jesus is the king. We have all failed to acknowledge God and live as he would have us. And so what we deserve is his punishment. And a question we might have, though, is why does Jesus need to die to deal with it? Seems a bit too much, doesn't it? Like, can't God just forgive us? Well, that's a great question. And the answer is that if God just lets us off the hook without doing anything, justice wouldn't be served. Like, imagine this. I came to your house and I ate all the Easter eggs that you had stored up. I'd do it. Don't send me the challenge. You'd need to see me punished, wouldn't you? At least buy you some more chocolate eggs. God can't just sit by and let opposition to him slide. Yet he loves us. He wants to forgive us. So to deal with it, he sends Jesus, he sends his own son to die to deal with the judgment that we deserve. And that's what we see happening when Jesus is on the cross and the sky goes black. This is the judgment of God poured out on Jesus, the innocent one. Jesus dies in our place. He was pierced for our transgressions, for our iniquities. Imagine that noisy school classroom again. But this time, it's not the one kid who's doing the wrong thing, but the whole class. It's chaos. Kids running around, shouting, throwing paper on the floor, climbing on desks, maybe even smashing a window. Hopefully that's not what's going on in our schools around here. But there's one kid who's not doing the wrong thing. And when the teacher comes in, you know the class is in trouble. Detention, suspension, definitely no free time. But then the one good innocent kid is the one who gets in trouble, taking the detention that the whole class deserves. It's not really fair, but that's what he does. And the most amazing part is that this innocent kid goes willingly to take the punishment for others because he loves them. Jesus goes willingly to his death. He chooses to suffer and to die to deal with the punishment we deserve, to let us go free because of his great love for us. Have you heard that saying, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I think there's an answer to that question which summarizes what's going on here. Why do bad things happen to good people? That has happened once. And he volunteered. Jesus, the innocent one, dies. And he does so for us. To take the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And that's not all. Because Jesus' suffering and death not only deals with our punishment, but brings us to God. In 1 Peter, that other passage that we read, Peter, who is one of Jesus' closest disciples, he writes about how Jesus, the innocent one, brings us to God. In that reading we had earlier, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus was innocent. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is the innocent one who doesn't even retaliate in the midst of the injustice going on. He willingly dies for us to deal with our sin, also that we can be returned to the shepherd of our souls. We can return to God and enjoy the safe and secure relationship he offers. The shepherd who goes to rescue the sheep who's lost on the hillside in the cold and wet. The shepherd who braves the elements to bring his sheep home. Jesus has braved God's judgment to bring us home to God. That's what's going on in our Luke reading when the temple curtain tears. It's quite an interesting detail in the story, isn't it, that a curtain tears? But this torn curtain symbolizes people being reconnected with God because of Jesus. This temple curtain was this enormous, heavy curtain in the Jewish temple. And it separated a place which symbolized where God was from where the place where people were allowed to come. And the only one allowed to enter past that curtain was the high priest. And then only once a year after he'd made copious sacrifice for his sin. And when Jesus dies, that curtain is torn in two. Do you see what that symbolizes? The way to God is now open for all through Jesus. Jesus is the open door who welcomes us into perfect relationship with God. The door that welcomes us in from the cold and wet to the warm and cozy house with the promise of good food, good friends, good times with God as its host. Jesus tells the criminal about this as he dies next to him. He tells the criminal that by trusting in Jesus, by turning to him, he will be with him in paradise. He will be welcome to God's home, all through Jesus. This is why Jesus goes to the cross and dies, though he is the innocent one. He deals with our sin and brings us to God. So Good Friday is really a great Friday. On Good Friday, we celebrate the death of Jesus, the death of an innocent man. And though this seems like an awful thing to celebrate, we've seen why it is such a good thing to celebrate. Jesus willingly suffers and dies, facing the judgment of God, though he is innocent. He suffers and dies to deal with our sin, to deal with the punishment that we deserve for failing to honour God as we should. And this means that we can be forgiven by God and welcomed into relationship with God. All who trust in Jesus are forgiven their sins and can have beautiful, restored relationship with God who made them. This is great news, isn't it? So perhaps we should call Good Friday Great Friday. But what do you do with this great news? Well, three things I want to suggest. Perhaps you've not really thought about these things, or you've not thought about them deeply, and you kind of have that nagging suspicion that this is something you should think a bit more about. Can I encourage you, take the time. Explore who Jesus is and what he said he did. Sorry, what he did and what he said about himself. We run a short course here called Jesus Introduction, and Craig is going to tell us a bit more about that later on. Second, if you trust Jesus already, appreciate the wonderful gift that we've been given in Jesus. This amazing and deeply costly gift of forgiveness and relationship with God. What wonderful news we have to celebrate this Easter. And if you trust Jesus, this is great news. Great news that we should be telling others. Who can you be telling about Jesus this Easter? Jesus, the innocent one, dies so that we can be forgiven and brought back to God. That is a great Friday worth celebrating. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven our sins. Thank you that Jesus endured the suffering of the cross to bring us back to you. Amen.